This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Billis.
And today, we're continuing on with our discussion of Guild Wars 2. Not so much about the anniversary, although that was a fine anniversary. No, today we're going to be talking about Path of Fire, the next expansion for the game.
Yes, the next expansion. If you played The Living Story, the end of it has you heading to the Crystal Desert. And that's also when they gave the announcement that the expansion is coming. And what nobody realized was that the expansion would happen in just a couple months.
That was actually insane. I mean, they announced it, what, at the end of August, basically?
Yeah. It was the end of July.
I'm sorry, end of July. My mistake.
End of July.
Cold medication. Give me a break.
And it's coming out.
2 months.
The 22nd of September.
That's insane.
The 22nd of September.
You never see an expansion go from, hey, we haven't even mentioned this before, to coming out in less than 2 months.
And if you were there for the grand unveiling, basically, where they went over all the stuff that I'm going to go over today, you're going to find, you would have found out that, yes, it is in the Crystal Desert, and mounts are now a thing. The reason for the mounts are not just to help you cover the zones, because there's supposed to be 5 new zones, and they're massive. It basically doubles the playable area in-game. So they are fucking huge.
Well, that's nifty, but are they then taking away, are they spreading out the waypoints then? Okay, so we didn't need mounts before because we had all these waypoints.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're now forcing you to use mounts?
No. You don't have to use the mounts.
Seems like an artificial way to make something interesting.
The mounts don't really give you a huge speed boost. They're there for helping you get around, but the main two things that they do is mounts, A, are for crossing terrain obstacles. And I'll go over that in just a second. The other thing is they're used for initiating combat, because the preview weekend that I've been playing in, the Raptor's initiator for combat is it jumps into combat and spins its tail around, and that does damage to all the enemies around it.
Nice.
And as you level up the masteries, because all the masteries in Path of Fire are based around your mounts. It's not like Heart of Thorns where you've got masteries to gain gliding, masteries to use these bouncing mushrooms, masteries to communicate with these new races or these new mobs, masteries for this, masteries for that. You've got all these things that, you know, you didn't know where to spend your mastery points. With this one, all your masteries are based around improving your mounts.
So you can say focus on, say, Raptor, and then just, you know, throw your points in there and make yourself have a badass Raptor.
Well, you're going to get plenty of mastery points so that you can do all of them. But if you like the Raptor, then yeah, you would focus on that. The first Raptor ability is, It you add one mastery point and it does more damage. It does greatly increased damage on the combat initiator. Then the next one allows you to drag mobs around you all together, cluster them together, kind of like the great sword ability of the Guardian.
I was going to say, that'd be very handy for a Guardian.
It just yanks everything together and you can just AoE them down. Which, for my engineer, I love that because I like getting large clusters together and just burning them down. Then you gain another ability, and I've lost it as to what it does, but the abilities are based around mostly getting you across distances. The third one, I think it allows you to jump a farther gap because the raptor's ability is it leaps forward. And
yeah, and the rabbit-like thing leaps up.
Leaps higher, right? Yes.
That was the one that interested me.
It's called a springer, and it gives you a high leap.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a cross between, you know, those desert rats, the ones that hop on their hind legs and have that long tail?
Yeah.
It looks like that, except it's bigger and it's more rabbit-like.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the skimmer, which allows you to hover over impassable zones, like quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, if you don't like swimming, the skimmer will take you across the water without, you know, having to hit the water. And, of course, then there's the jackal, which gives you the ability to blink forward a good distance. But what's nice about that is you can, like, blink in one direction and then make a 90-degree turn, and it'll help you cross some of the puzzles that you're going to run across.
Hmm.
So if you've got to, like, go around a wall and land on this platform, the jackal would allow you to do that.
Interesting.
Another nice thing about mounts is they're dyeable, which means you can use any of the dyes you've collected throughout the game to change their skin tone.
Nice.
And during the playable weekend, I had the ability. I had the nice time of, I dyed my raptor Shadow Abyss black. It's the blackest of the blacks, and it looks pretty nice. It doesn't change the entire body, just large mottled plates of its body. I mean, the belly and certain areas are still, you know, the standard color, but its main colored sections are now solid black.
Nice. But there's got to be more to it than just mounts.
Oh, yeah.
And large terrain. What else are we looking forward to?
Well, there's a new guild hall coming.
Maybe it'll be a little easier to get.
Oh, hell no. They want claiming a guild hall to be hard. They want it to be something that your guild has to work together to do.
Oh, impossible for small guilds.
No. Actually, several small guilds have them because they just said, hey, I need help. And they had a ton of people join their guild so they could claim a hall.
Yes. But you shouldn't have to beg people to join your guild just so you can get a guild hall.
Well,
since it's the only housing they're giving us.
No, it's not. You've had
that's
your personal instance.
That's not housing. Can you decorate it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You can make it completely different how
you
like
can.
It.
No, you can. Not say
that's
that you
I'm
can
saying.
Change it, but you can add things to it.
Oh, yay. Sorry, that's one of my pet peeves.
Uh-huh. But there's new mechanics, like Barrier, which acts like a backup health bar. And then there's Ammunition, which they haven't really gone into detail, but it's kind of like a slowly accumulating resource, is what I was trying to think of. Let's see here.
Wait a minute. Ammunition. Why would, say, my guardian using a greatsword need ammunition?
That's just the term for it. They could probably come up with a better name, because ammunition makes you think of rifles and pistols and bows and things like that.
Right, right.
But it's basically just a resource. It's kind of like using, like, the thief uses, it has this energy bar that it burns up.
Okay.
So you're using so many points to perform this special ability. and then it regenerates over time.
Well, okay.
But the main thing that's coming out of it is you're getting 9 new elite specializations, which I know you're not thrilled about, but some of them sound absolutely phenomenal.
No. It's not that I'm against specializations. I just argue that this isn't really a true expansion. I'm used to a classic expansion, something that really adds new things to the game. And I don't see that here.
Well, to each his own. I don't see a point in arguing it because I think it's perfectly wonderful. And if you've been playing the game to the degree that I have, you've seen how you don't just get this set amount of content, that they add content on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about once every 3 months or once every 6 months or whatever. No, it's every time a living story rolls out, you're getting new content. You're getting, in a lot of times, you're getting new zones. You're getting new things to do, new skins, new this, new that. You're getting new raids. You're getting new dungeons. You're getting new things.
Sure. And I'm
on a regular basis.
I'm not arguing that. That's clearly ArenaNet provides plenty of content.
So when they give you this as their expansion, and they're not charging $50 for the expansion, they're charging
$30.
Yes. But you know, as a player, they have always continued with a steady stream of content. So I'm not going to complain about it.
But they're going to continue with a steady... That content's going to show up one way or another.
Well, you're not going to get it if you don't have Path of Fire. Yeah, you get the living story, but if you can't get into Path of Fire, it's may not be useful.
Okay, that's a good point. So, yeah, you're kind of stuck.
Because it looks like that's where they're going with the living story, is you are going to Crystal Desert.
Why wouldn't they? They want you to be there. They want you to buy the expansion. The last time, as much as I hated Heart of Thorns, they at least gave you a new class. In addition to the specializations, in addition to the new zones, in addition to all the new mechanics they added, you got a full new class, Revenant. And I could take it or leave it. But for $40, which that's what it cost when it came out, $40, you got all this stuff and a new class. So basically they're saying that Revenant was worth $10. Because from what it seems to me, Path of Fire is essentially Heart of Thorns without a new class.
Well, you could see it that way.
So the Revenant is worth $10. And I'm like, that just seems a little hollow to me. Especially when I'm looking at new expansions coming out, for example, for Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah, I saw that.
They put out Mordor, and Mordor is freaking massive. Mordor is a culmination of the end of the storyline. I don't want to get into it because we're talking Guild Wars 2. But it has a whole new race. It has, and people say, oh, well, it's just high elves. We already have elves. Yes, but high elves are a race that people have wanted from the beginning. Finally, it's here. And you have all this great content in it for $40. Now, you could argue back, you don't get the race for that $40. You got to pay $80 for that.
Yeah.
I paid $130 for the expansion, so I wanted everything.
And that's how much I like it. And yeah, that's just it. That's my point right there. You are so thrilled about your Lotro expansion, you're willing to pay that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
For what I'm...
Because I see it worth it that much.
Exactly. I think this is worth $30. I had no problem
I'm not saying it's not worth $30. I'm saying that it just seems like you're going from this expansion for $40 that had a class and all this other stuff to...
I don't know.
less content for only $10 less.
If they had offered more and then said you got to pay $120 to gain this, I don't know, my butt would hurt. That sounds like a royal screwing to me.
Sorry, that was 130, sir.
Okay, even worse. They didn't even call you the next day.
Hey, you know what? I bought it because it was actually more to support Standing Stone Games, because I like what they've been doing with the game for the last, well, not quite a year. So it was more of a, let's support the company, than I didn't have to. I could have done without High Elves. I could have paid my $40 and been happy with it. But I went ahead and paid an additional, God, $90?
So, crap. Your point is you're spending all this money because you want to support Standing Stone Games.
Yes.
But yet, the fact that I want to support a game that's been consistent and good and enjoyable for 5 years, I just want to support ArenaNet.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. I just don't. It seems hollow to me, like I said. But that's just my opinion.
Well, let's get back to
specializations. Yes. We're getting off. Sorry.
So basically, the warrior is going to be able to change into the spellbreaker, which is more of a close quarters. And his ability is to strip magic from his enemies. And he gets to use a dagger as his main hand weapon, which is something they haven't been able to do before.
Right. Actually, I saw that in the video talking about the specializations, and I was like, I don't like warriors as a general rule, but that actually seemed pretty interesting.
Well, according to the people who have tried it, it's not very useful in PvE. It's more of a PvP build, which I do understand.
A warrior's always kind of struck me as a PvP class in the first place.
No, a warrior in PvE, they tear shit up.
I'm not saying they don't, but they always struck me as more PvP oriented.
One of the ones that looks interesting is the ranger. He gets the ability to become the soul beast. And his special feature is he can merge with his pet.
Cough, druid.
Whatever pet. Well, they already have druids. Rangers can become druids from Heart of Thorns.
You know what I'm saying, though.
But they get to merge together and create a whole new creature with all new abilities. And, again, the ranger gets to use a dagger. The engineer, I have a lot of trepidation about this because engineer is my favorite class. But they become the holosmith.
I was wondering what you'd think about that.
They basically unlock this ability to use holographic weapons. And there hasn't been a whole lot of detail about that, other than you have access to this. You can bring up a holographic mace and bludgeon things, or a hammer, or a sword. And
it felt kind of, just from looking at it, seemed a little mesmerish.
Well, it just, I don't know, they haven't gotten enough detail to make me happy about it.
Right.
It still seems kind of lame.
Well, you know.
But the Elementalist, now that's the one that I can see becoming badass.
Isn't that the one where they can
they
combo?
They become the Weaver. Yes, yeah. They get to, normally you'll choose like an attunement. You're in fire attunement. So all five of your abilities, and it's... This works on every single weapon that the Elementalist can use.
Right.
So it's like 41 new skills that have been added to the Weaver. But, so you say you're playing a staff Elementalist in fire. So you've got your Meteor Strike, you've got all these other, you know, abilities. And then you click water as well. So your first two remain fire, your second two are now water skills, and the middle one is a combo of the two.
Interesting.
And if at any time you can say, I need earth now, so you click on earth, and now the first two change to earth skills, and the middle one changes to earth and water.
Wow.
So you can do a lot of new things. And they're using the sword. They're elementalists can finally use swords.
That should make our cousin pretty happy.
Oh, it should. The other thing is they were talking about how the elementalist is going to be one of the new upfront melee classes.
Hmm.
With this.
Well, everybody can tank and everybody can DPS. Yes, I know, but
most people refuse to tank, even in Earth attunement.
It's hard to get out of the idea of an elementalist as a mage, and therefore mages stand in the back.
Well, they have a lot of durability through Earth, but this makes it more so.
Yeah.
And then they went with the Necro, who can become the Scourge. But if you take up the mantle of the Scourge, you lose your Death Shroud.
Hmm.
But, and this is where Barrier comes in. Because the Necro has a lot of Barrier skills. So they are exceedingly durable, according to the things I've seen. And they can basically start laying down, putting life force into the ground around them to support everyone around them. They're like this massive support and massive, well, still a massive condition build.
Interesting.
But again, they didn't go into huge detail on that. The Revenant, and the Necro also gains the Torch as the weapon they gain.
Hmm.
Revenants gain a new soul, and they become the Renegade. And what they're doing is they're gaining the soul of a Char master, this badass Char who, I mean, he...
Note, all Char are badass.
Yes, but this is one of their legendary heroes.
Right.
And so that just adds all these new kick-ass features for the Revenant. And the people who've played it were amazed. That won the show, according to most of the YouTubers who got to play in the preview and got to try out all the different, well, most of the different specializations.
Yeah.
That by far, hands down, I mean, won.
Nice. That'd be good because, you know, Revenant, it's fun, but it's kind of like Warrior for me. It's just generic, it felt. You know, yeah. I didn't find it really anything that popped or stood out.
Yeah, no.
But I'm a Guardian. I play Guardians.
But the Mesmer becomes the Mirage, and they gain this new camouflage ability. So they blend in with their surroundings.
No, that's right. The Predators.
The other thing they gain is they lose the ability to dodge in favor of a blur effect. So they use their dodge normally, but instead of moving, they stand still, but the attack goes through them.
Right.
The reason being is the only... You know, the main thing that Mesmers have going for them is the fact that they are indistinguishable from their clones or their illusions or their phantasms or whichever they happen to be using.
Right, right.
The easiest way to discover which one's the true form is watch them dodge. Now they've corrected that. Now you don't dodge. You don't move.
That's helpful so, in PvP, but what about like where you have to dodge to get past a trap on the ground? Now you don't dodge.
You
stand there. So
no, you can do this in motion. You don't just stand still and
okay.
Do that.
So you can still
have the blur effect and go through the trap, but it doesn't. You're indistinguishable from all of your clones.
Nice.
And so Mesmers could be badass. Then the Guardian, your favorite, can become the Firebrand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're axe wielding fire, you know, everything they do is based around fire, it looks like. They get these holy tomes that just increase their power, they look dangerous.
I'm not too thrilled about the losing the sword, the great sword, but at the same time, it did look pretty tasty.
It looks pretty badass. Then the thief, they become the Deadeye, which is basically a rifle-wielding assassin.
Yeah, they're snipers.
From what I've seen, though, it looks like they have the longest range of any class out there now.
I'll tell you right now, the World v. World is going to be full of campers playing thieves, sniping people
people are already planning for this.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are abilities that you can use that increase your already in insanely long range even further.
It's going to be CSGO Guild Wars 2.
Well, I don't care. I don't world versus world unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
But basically, the other things that are going on in the game is there's three new factions. There's Palawa Joka, the undead leader. He's kind of like an undead pharaoh.
Yeah.
And he has his army of awakened undead minions. He's different from the undead minions you've run across before, which were all controlled by the undead dragon.
Right.
So his minions are loyal to him because of his personality. He also has a lot of living people who worship him.
Kind of cultists.
Exceedingly.
From the video, yeah.
And of course, then there's Balthazar, the god of war and fire, and his forged minions, which are basically suits of armor.
I'm going to say that reminds me a lot of the first expansion for Rift, Storm Legion.
I don't know.
It really does. They've gone a whole very sci-fi-ish, and yeah, they had a lot of technological, magical type creations like that. So I'm just saying, it just kind of reminded me of that.
But then the last thing is, since you're in the Crystal Desert, of course, there's Kralkatorik, the Crystal Dragon, and his branded minions.
Isn't that the little bitty baby dragon?
No. Kralkatorik is the big purple SOB who turned a good section of the Char area into this big forest of crystals.
Okay, then.
And the Shatterer is one of his lieutenants. That sort of thing, yeah.
Alrighty, then.
I guess the last thing I'd have to say is one of the joys of playing in the preview weekend has been sitting there watching the idle animation of the Raptor, because I was chatting with my wife and, you know, the Raptor will like plop down and you're on its back and you scratch its neck and it starts, you know, moving its leg like a dog does.
Mm-hmm.
And the other time I'm again, just, you know, gabbing off, and I noticed out of the corner of my eye, the Raptor does this wet dog shake while you're on its back, and your character's just bouncing back and forth, just violently thrashing around, trying to stay in the saddle. And when it's done, you're kind of cocked off to the side. It was hysterical the first time I saw it.
Excuse me.
But somebody put a lot of fun and love into it. And so I know there's not a whole lot to explore in this first preview weekend, but there's another preview weekend coming where I'm hoping we'll actually get to play test the specializations and see more of the world. Maybe get to try out a different mount, because the Raptor's cool and everything, but I want to see what they did with the other ones.
Yeah, but even as it is, we're only a couple weeks away from the expansion coming out. Which,
true.
In case anyone's wondering, yes, I will be buying it.
One of the other things that they've added is bounty hunts, where you go up to the bounty board and you choose one, and it gives you an icon on the map where the bounty's located, and you have to go and hunt it down. These are not solo events. They flat out tell you there are, every single one of them is either a champion or better. They have legendary bounty hunts. And every bounty that you successfully perform, you're getting a new currency that you can trade for cool new stuff.
Yeah, but that gives, if you're in a guild or something, it gives a reason for you guys to group together and go do stuff together.
Well, and the guilds that are normally out there helping people already, they are already doing, just in the preview weekend, they're doing bounty hunt runs where they're going from one bounty hunt to the next and they're letting you know, hey, at this time, we're going to be doing this particular bounty. Make sure you get it and meet us here.
Nice.
So it's going to be, if this continues into the game, which it normally does, you're going to be able to take down those bounties relatively trouble-free. And again, since you don't have to group up to do them, you just have to join in, you're going to be able to get credit.
Nice.
So again, quite thrilled. Game releases the 22nd of September. And I don't know what else to say, but other than can't fucking wait.
Well, awesome. Like I said, I will be buying into it, which is going to be interesting because I've done almost nothing with Heart of Thorns.
You don't need, actually, you don't need it. You don't need any of the Heart of Thorns.
That's why I like how they cap you out at 80 and you can just, it's like,
it's vertical, lateral, or, lateral progression.
Right.
The thing is from what I've heard is you don't even need the base game for it. It's a standalone expansion.
Huh. Well, they give you the Guild Wars 2 for free anyway, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is you get,
You know, what I heard is that you don't need Heart of Thorns,
no,
but they're selling
you
it
do not.
Together as, you can,
as
buy,
you can buy the bundle, yes.
As a bundle, yes.
But gliding exists in the new zone, and mounts will be usable in the core game.
Nice.
I don't know if mounts will be available in Heart of Thorns, but I can see that being a big whopping pain in the ass anyways, because there is a lot of foliage and there is a lot of places you don't want to have a raptor leaping off of because you're going to fall.
Uh-huh. Well, if you could leap off, jump off your mount and open up your glider.
I suppose.
You know someone's going to try it.
Of course they are.
Anyway, so we're over a little overdue. So anyway, till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Baeolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.